I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome once again to the More and Connolly Football Show, the podcast that gives you your fix the NFL with a little added je ne sais quoi. Big shout out, as always, to the Gridiron family, of which we are proud to call ourselves a part. My name is Tom Moore, talking nonsense since 1986, and joining me, as always, is the godfather of the family. It's Ollie Connolly. Ollie, how the devil are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm all right, but you are flat out, my man. I mean, you are busy. I know people that are busy, but you take that and you put a, you know, jam sandwich on it and you take it to another level, my friend. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. Is that a good thing, bad thing? I can't tell.
How are you doing it? So are you using recreational drugs or something that Aaron Rodgers would use? Or is it just coffee that's getting you through, pure perseverance, monkey sweat, goat placenta? What is it?
Coffee. Irish coffee is around 6 o'clock. If the writer's block really sets in, maybe you'll drop yourself a little Irish coffee to kind of get over the hump there. You know, just hardcore cigarettes, you know, anything that's available legally to give you a burst of energy on 19-hour days, I will take.
Hardcore cigarettes. Are they different from normal cigarettes?
I don't know, man. You tell me.
Okay, fair enough. It's a good Breaking Bad scenario there. On today's show, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to hit you, as we always do, with NFL headlines that we're foreseeing for next week. We're going to give you our predictions of what the headlines are going to be after this weekend of football. Then we'll go into the game show for this week, which today is Through the Keyhole, which was always a favorite of mine. And instead of going into an NFL player's house, Stereo Mike's going to give us some clues, like they would do in Through the Keyhole when going into a house, and we will try and guess who the player is. Then we'll go to a little taste of Ireland with Stereo Mike. He'll give us a bit of an Irish lesson, and we'll finish with listeners' questions. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us any week, you can do. Hit us up, mcfquestions@gmail.com. Whether it's a question, an opinion, a bit of abuse, whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. And you can also find us on Twitter at Ollie Connolly, at @the_Tommy_Moore, as if there were any others, and at @Michael_NFL. But before we get started, Ollie, can you remember when we used to do the MCFS show back in the day for so many years? We used to have the occasional story time with Tom. Do you remember that?
It was my favorite thing, yeah.
Story time with Tom. Now, I'm going to hit you with story time with Tom to start off this week before we get into the NFL headlines, and a bit of a dilemma I was faced with, and I'd want to know what you guys would do. So essentially, what happened is I went to the office early, and so I went to the McDonald's, my local McDonald's, which is just down the street from the office, right? And I said, I'm going to get myself a sausage and egg McMuffin, okay? So I went in, and you know you've got the order points, mm-hmm. Yeah? So I put it in, sausage and egg McMuffin, £2.49, or whatever extortionate price it is that they're charging now for that material, which probably hasn't been nowhere near a pig to start with. Anyway, I type it in. You know, you do the thing, you put your contactless card down. No receipt thing comes through with my order number on. Now, it displays on the screen 64. Okay, great. Then I turn and I see the state of the queue. Horrendous. People all over the place. No sense of a queue at all. The screen with the order numbers isn't working, so it's not on there. So you don't know which order's on its way. And there seems to be one person doing the cooking, the wrapping, and the passing out to people. This is in quite a big suburban area as well. Now, I was disappointed for a start, but I wanted the food, but I also was quite busy and I was faced with a dilemma. Do I stay or do I go? And if I stay, how do I handle that situation? Ollie, what do you think?
So this is a tough one. So the question is, do you stay and just battle it out and wait? Or are you just, so you're saying you're absconding from the £2.49?
That is an option.
So is that the option, or is the option to just kind of, it's kind of a free-for-all situation, nobody knows what order is what, and you just kind of grab at what is available?
That is another wrinkle, because clearly a lot of other people were in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. So what did you go for?
I absconded, Ollie. Now, was that the worst thing? I just was like, I can't be arsed with this. And I just left. Is that bad chat? Because I was disappointed
every single
for the rest
time
of the day.
I've walked into McDonald's since I turned like 25. Walked in and gone, you know what? I don't want to be in this zoo. I have too much pride to stand in a zoo of food and have a burger thrown at me with no care and told to eat on a child's tray. I think there comes a time in life where a man can look at himself and say, or woman, and say, that was Brenty on it, or and say, you know what, $2.49 sunk cost, let's just go get a meal deal.
And that's what I did. I left, Ollie, and instead what I did is I got an orange Danish pastry from Bird's.
Nice. I say you won that.
Now, before we went to the NFL, you know, they were not able to sell orange Danish pastries at Bird's. If you don't know what Bird's is, it's something in the Midlands and the North, which is a bakery, and it's fantastic. Orange Danish pastries, because apparently they couldn't get the orange curd. And for a year, or maybe even 2 years, they didn't have them. Now, recently they brought them back, Ollie, and my Danish pastry consumption has gone through the roof. It's quite concerning.
Now, I don't want people to get the wrong impression here. You have a slender runner's body. You're very gaunt in the face. Yep. He's making a bicep situation going on there.
Gaunt in the face? What's that
mean? Yeah. Slightly gaunt in the face. Maybe too thin, some would suggest. Maybe a couple more pastries. And yet you're kind of professing yourself to be a man of the people here with Bird's, with McDonald's. This is not the Tom I know.
So hang on, where should I be dining? If I'm looking for
Lord's,
an early...
The Lord's member section.
I should be going into Marks and Spencer's and demanding a sandwich from somebody working on the soup counter. Okay, fair enough. I see you. I see you, Connolly. Okay, let's take it to the headlines. So, NFL headlines this week, Ollie. You and I are going to bounce back and forth between these, and let's think about what's going to happen over this weekend. So, I'm going to give you my first headline, Ollie. Here we go.
You should lay this up for people, by the way, just so people realize this. Every week on the MCFS, we like to predict what the main headline. I don't want people to think they've like woken up in some up in there in the future.
That was terrible hosting on my part. I apologize. So my first headline that I think is going to come up next week is the following. Kirk flips a coin pre-game and decides Bad Kirk will come to play against Detroit, resulting in a Lions victory for the ages, including two pick sixes of Kirk Cousins. Ollie, the Lions bouncing onto two wins in a row. How do you feel about them apples?
I like them apples. The Lions look really, really good. Really good. And it's more than just kind of the Dan Campbell bravado of it all. And that's the element, I think, that gets everyone excited in the sense that something a bit different, something special is going on. They're absolutely... the team of the public, I'd say, in which they have obviously the most feel-good factor. People want them to be good. I think people want that fan base to have a good run, not just like a year here or there. Everyone likes Dan Campbell. I think everyone kind of likes that staff because what Dan Campbell has done in the most wonderful way is populate his entire building with former players. There's no like nerd who, you know, studied at Harvard and knows all the schemes. He just went and got himself brilliant coaches and they've all played. And so it's entirely in that kind of rah-rah vein. And I love it, man. And they do really creative stuff on offense. They're getting much better on defense. You never know. You never know which Kirk's going to turn up and you never know which Vikings is going to turn up. That's the way they've always been. That's the way that they will continue to be.
Yeah, they had to turn up in week one, though, didn't they? I think it was probably the Packers who didn't turn up more than anything. Do you not think, though, with Detroit, when I was watching Hard Knocks, the way I was watching it with my wife, the defensive coordinator, Glenn, and the offensive, what's his name? Is it Juice? Was it Juice McAllister?
It's a Johnson, isn't it? Is it Ben Johnson?
The offensive coach, the running back's coach. It's Juice McAllister, isn't
it? Yeah.
The way they're joining each other, and Juice McAllister, he lost his voice. And I was just like, it was mainly at McAllister. You're the coach, man. What the hell are you playing at? Because Glenn kind of was, for the most part, he wasn't really reacting.
No, Aaron Glenn's a very cerebral guy. He's kind of an introvert who just sits in his office and does scheme stuff all day. I love that in the building. I like there being friction. I like there being competition between a staff as though there's this like faux camaraderie that they're not all trying to gun to move up the coaching ladder, which they all are. And hopefully you get to win as a staff along the way. So I like that. I'm wholly invested in this team. The way that they played last week was really impressive. They're doing it without most of their offensive linemen. They have one of the three best O-lines in the league, which is what makes them so special on offense. And then those guys haven't been healthy. So that's really good. And the Vikings defense is a complete crapshoot week to week. They have so many pieces that are either rookies or guys working back from injury where you have no idea how they're going to play. They're running a completely new style that changes how they play on the back end, which really changes the way that Harrison Smith is playing. And that's something they're trying to navigate through. And it worked really well, just dropped on what the Packers do anyway. What they've built on defense is constructed entirely to stop the style of offense the Packers are running. So that was just a really favorable matchup week one, and everything kind of went well, even though they busted a few coverages right, and Christian Watson should have had a huge touchdown, and the Packers just missed some throws, and it caught up with them in week two. So I am interested to see what the Vikings look like in week three.
The Swift touchdown this weekend as well, he was bang to rights, and he got out. That was incredible. And Juice McAllister's words of, you can be, you know, great, were ringing in my ears. But if I was Aaron Glenn and Juice McAllister had lost his voice in during training, I'd constantly be going, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what did you say? I'm sorry, what, bitch? Okay, anyway. Ollie, what's your first headline?
My first headline is Josh Allen wraps up the earliest MVP in league history.
Give me some of that Josh Allen love. That guy is a baller. God, I'm talking like I'm in a Madden video game. What is wrong with me? Ollie, talk to me about Josh Allen.
Well, this entire Bills team, complete juggernaut. They roll the Titans. I mean, it was somewhat close right until Taylor Lewan goes down for the Titans, and then that defensive front just takes over. And you know, coming into the year, the Bills were so high. They had Von Miller. There's just no flaw to the team. It's by far the deepest, and I think the most talented in the league. They have this quarterback who's, you know, throw him up in the air. They come down between Mahomes, Brady, him, and who am I searching for? Herbert.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers was the one I was looking for. Thank you. Of the five of them, any one of them on any given week is the best in the league. And I do think there was a little bit of skepticism since the start of the season, particularly from the national media, that, you know, sometimes some things are too good to be true. That team who gets close and everyone books them in as the favorite the next year doesn't often work that way, particularly when they go out and do the move, which is with a one move away situation, as they did with Vaughn. That doesn't really work out, but it's an unusually deep roster and it's an unusual one move away play. You don't often just get an 80 pressure a year pass rusher, which is what he is. Hall of Famer, still performing at the absolute apex of his powers. Those guys just aren't readily available. And we've seen already through 2 weeks, he completely transforms what was already the best defense in the league by EPA per play, which is the best measurement of these things. They dropped in the most dominant thing you can put on a defense, which is a Hall of Fame pass rusher. So they're just a complete juggernaut. And I think they're going to win 15, 16 games. And that'll be Josh Allen winning the MVP. And they're going up against, obviously, the darlings of the moment, which is the Dolphins. And if he goes in there and just clubs them over the head, and there's some really interesting stuff the Ravens did in that game at the weekend to the Dolphins defense. Obviously the Dolphins offense got all the headlines, but there's some really interesting stuff the Ravens did to the Dolphins defensively, and they obviously dropped the 40 burger on the Dolphins defense. I think Allen and company will take into this game, and they could have a massive week too, and they're better defensively than Baltimore is.
Yeah, what happened in that Dolphins Ravens game? I mean, that was bonkers. But Josh Allen, mate, I think MVP is, I think it's almost nailed on. I'm not sure how you're going in any other direction. And one of the things I want to share about the Bills is, and this is, again, most of the things come back to me as a Packers fan, is that I know he picked up an injury, but obviously Micah Hyde still playing for the Bills. And I'm like, what is he? Seriously? And it's like that. It's like losing Casey Hayward. Anyway, let's not go back into that. Give me a quick 30 seconds. What the hell happened in that Dolphins Ravens game?
Oh, they have the two quickest players in the league, and they are totally unguardable. Unguardable individually, and then to put them together is unfair. And they use them in really creative ways. And I won't bog this particular audience down with too much of my X's and O's nerdy stuff, but the way Mike McDaniels is using personnel packages is really creative and clever and gives them a ton of matchup advantages. And there's just only so much you can do defensively against that kind of speed. And Mike McDaniels being really clever with deploying those guys together, but with a third piece that kind of either hides them within the initial part of the play design or allows them to pop open free through play design. So it's not just them playing isolation football and aren't we quicker than everyone else, because you can layer the defense in such a way when it's that kind of one-on-one football, he's doing cool stuff to get them out in the pattern free. And then when they're in space, they're quicker than everyone in the world. So there's not really much you can do when there's two of them and they're together and there's a third guy occupying space too beside them. So it's just, it's impossible, man. They are the two quickest guys in the league and they are uncoverable.
We've been saying this on the MCFS for years. You can't teach speed. Anyway, on to my next headline.
Just before you say that, because I do have to say, I mean, Tua made four outrageous throws. So it wasn't like this notion that they were just wide open, which is true. They are wide open the whole time. The game-winning throws was the Gesicki throw, was the final touchdown throw too. That those were uncommon throws, and he just had an unbelievable fourth quarter.
That man Gesicki finding himself a role. Let's move on, Ollie. I've got another headline for you. And again, with my headlines, ladies and gentlemen, and what you got to realize each week, if you've not realized already, I'm just being provocative. Do I actually think these things are going to happen? Probably not. But you know what? It's fun. So how about this one? The Titans step up for their first win, relegating the Raiders to an 0-3 start as Derek Carr is jeered on the sideline and hit by a rogue burrito a la Fat Amy in Pitch Perfect. Ollie, what do you think of that?
It's a tough one. You know, both these two teams, if you had said at the start of the season to most people, 0-2 starts, I don't think most people would have gone for that. It's a great example of the importance of O-line play. They both have terrible O-lines, and it sunk them in. The Raiders played pretty well on Sunday. They got Kyler Murray. It could happen to anyone, but O-lines are so important. And that Titans team, it's just right at the end of its cycle. They basically missed the window. Derek Henry, he's just not the player he was. The burst is not the same. You know, he got that plate in his foot last season. They rushed him back for the playoffs, and now he just doesn't move the same way he did before. And we saw when Derek Henry went down last year, when their offense becomes siloed between we're running the ball and now we're throwing the ball, and they don't have any crossover. Derek Henry was the foundational piece, not just because of how good he is as a running back, but it allowed them to have this fluidity between the run and the pass game and their play action, where they were basically the most effective team in the league for three seasons. And when you take him out and it becomes we're running the ball with one back, and then we're going to throw the ball with a different back, we're going to have two different offenses based on the down distance, that the QB isn't good enough, the rest of the team isn't good enough, the O-line certainly isn't good enough. And Henry covered so much of that up because he was at such a superstar level. Now that he's at a mortal level, we saw what happened against the Bills, and that is obviously a dominant defense, but it was like, 13 yards on 11 rushes to open the game, something just preposterous like that. He just doesn't have the juice to make guys miss in the hole. And without that, their whole offense essentially crumbles down because they're forced into saying, okay, we're in third and medium or third and long, and can Ryan Tannehill take us to the promised land without AJ Brown? And he's just not that player.
He certainly isn't. And imagine running with a dinner plate in your foot, particularly a 12-inch plate, Alan Partridge style. That must be a real hindrance. Ollie, give me your next one.
Yes, it is time to panic about Tom Brady and the Buccaneers offense.
Ooh, Ollie, this has got, you know, people can't see this on the audio, but my hands are waving around because my next headline was going to be Aaron Rodgers and the Packers silence the doubters as the wide receiver core finally hits it up and Christian Watson scores on a 75-yard reverse, because that seems to be the only way they're using it at the moment, is on reverses. I ain't throwing you the ball, damn it. Talk to me about Tom Brady and this Bucs team then, because we talk Packers all the time. But
I know, but can I just quickly on Watson, because it really makes me laugh, because the amount of just like coach speak, play speak bullshit, it's to the point of why do we even ask these guys to talk when we know that everything they're saying is a lie, so that we can have some content just to fill 24 hours. Then we'll talk to you tomorrow, bullshit some more, and we'll do 24 hours. The praise that he spent the whole offseason given to these guys, and they're way more advanced than I thought. And Christian Watson has no idea where he is, no idea where he's going. Does he know he's in Wisconsin? I'm not entirely sure. And so, as you said, he has become this jet sweep decoy where I am certain he'll take three or four to the house. He's so quick, you know, and they'll hit him with a couple of deep shots this year, but he can just not currently function in an NFL offense, particularly not in that Green Bay offense, which is really demanding on receivers, both in terms of blocking. That's why their offense, as Aaron has said now publicly, is we are centered around if Alan Lazard is healthy or not, which is an unbelievable situation to be in when you're the back-to-back MVP and every single game for you now is legacy defining, that you are wholly reliant on the health of Alan Lazard.
Hey, it's the lizard man, baby. We'll be fine. Talk to me about Tom Brady, though.
Well, you know, last week, they've had this issue with the Saints for years. Now, the Saints play a specific brand of defense against Brady, which really kind of muddies things up for him. And he's constantly, I mean, it's the defense that would stop any quarterback in the league. It's two-man coverage, two safeties deep. It's not exactly anything creative. And they just hammer the shit out of receivers and hope they don't get calls. And they typically don't. Without Mike Evans, with all the injuries they have, I think we're going to have one of those weeks where there's a problem. And there's obviously all the other stuff going on off the field, which we could get into. He just looks so disgruntled, so unhappy. And this happened with them when they first got to Bruce Arians, right? When Bruce Arians and Tom Brady first got together, they were pretty terrible for 6-7 weeks. Not terrible. They just really struggled. Every week was bitty. You never knew what you were going to get. They would have two good drives and there'd be just six drives of just, they will be a slugfest. And so I just think we're going through that same motion with them with the Todd Bowles situation. And it's a team that now is essentially governed by Bowles and the defense. It's not so much about Brady. And the Packers defense, which has not been as impressive as it should have been this season, they fun stat for you, Tom, as we discussed the Packers, you know how many times they've blitzed this season?
Do you want a percentage?
So they've played, let's do this properly. They've played, it's not the game show part yet, people, but let's do this properly. They've played two games this season, correct? And it was against Kirk Cousins, right? Mm-hmm. And the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, who struggles against perimeter blitzes, and the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields, a second-year guy who we don't know what his strengths or weaknesses probably are yet because he's barely played football. How often did they blitz those two guys? And we'll just go straight dropbacks, no percentage.
To be fair, I did actually watch those games, obviously, as a Packers fan. I mean, I wasn't concentrating much on the Vikings because it was crap, but I don't know. 5-0. Wow.
0. They have not blitzed a single time this season. This after drafting Quay Walker, who the great thing about having Quay Walker is you can sit in nickel all game, he can cover tight ends, and you can also attack the backfield like no one else because he's just a pocket rocket. It's quite bizarre. So that is problematic for the whole season, but that is exactly building the type of structure you want to replicate what the Saints do against Tom Brady. If you're just living in that world anyway, because your down four is so good and they have an unbelievable down four, right? That's the strength of the defense. Then this sets up for it just being the wrong match with the wrong time for the Bucs with their injuries. And I'm not saying the Bucs are in trouble. I think they'll be fine. All the consternation about Brady and stuff, I still imagine at the end of the season he'll be holding the trophy on the podium because that's just what he does. But after this weekend, I think they could struggle to move the ball against that defense. And then all of a sudden we're going to be into that time of how unhappy is he? Did he break another surface? All that kind of stuff. And I think we'll have a week of headlines of, is this it for Tom Brady?
I can see that, and I'd like the Packers defense to show up. That would be nice. But whenever you say pocket rocket, whenever anyone says pocket rocket, I just think of Jeanette Manrara. So now all I'm thinking now when I see Quay Walker play is Jeanette Manrara with a helmet on. Anyway, gotta love Jeanette Manrara. Looking forward to this season of Strictly. Tony Adams is going to be terrible. Right, Ollie, seeing as we hit my last headline in connected to your last one, let's round off this segment with your final headline. What you got for me, baby? Shock me, shock me.
Matt Rhule is out in Carolina.
In the words of Cotton McKnight from Dodgeball, I feel shocked. What happens, man? What's happening?
I think, you know, we come into the season, Matt Rhule was fired until proven otherwise, right? He was kind of given one last throw of the dice because David Tepper, the owner there, who's very tempestuous, could not really find an appropriate replacement. He was trying to do one of these marriages like the Dolphins did, which is don't fire the coach yet, but call Sean Payton and Tom Brady and see if you can get them both to sign before you fire everyone else in the building. Tepp was doing all that stuff, right? Can I get me a Deshaun Watson? Can I get me a Russell Wilson? If I can get me one of those QBs, I'll get them the coach they want. That was how they spent the offseason. Failing that, we'll roll Matt back, we'll trade for Baker Mayfield, then it'll be a shit show. And it has been, and they are so uninspired on offense. Defensively, they got a ton of good pieces, but it's just not enough to cover up for how poor the offense is. And you go to a team in New Orleans, they're hosting New Orleans this weekend. It's been so uninspired. If they lose, and they lose to a team where the quarterback either has a broken back or he's Andy Dalton. Those are their two options, right? Jameis Winston, broken back, Andy Dalton. If you get beat by that, and that's possible because that Saints defense is really talented, I mean, what do we do? Why even bother waiting until later in the season? I think, and Rhule knows he's out, and there's a ton of college openings now. In college football now, they've kind of changed the game where you get fired almost immediately in season. After 1 week, 2 weeks, they just fire you immediately to try and get ahead of the coaching cycle. Rhule was a really good college coach. He'll be at the top of the list for a ton of college jobs. So I can see him. I can see them coming almost to an agreement of, look, we know what's happening at the end of the year. Let's just do this now. You can go and talk about the college gigs with other people. We'll stick an interim in here. It's not working. So I would not be floored if the first firing of the season happens in the third week.
That would be fascinating. It's kind of like Remember the Titans, isn't it? When you'll be fired at the first time of trouble. What do you classify as trouble? Lose a game. So, oh, no. I can see that, Ollie. This whole Carolina project doesn't feel like it's going to work out for me. You know, like we were doing Dragon's Den a few weeks ago. You know, I'm not investing in this one, Ollie.
No, and that's the problem they have. They made sense when you were looking at trading for a Watson or a Wilson. I'm trying to look at the board now because they want to swing big for a franchise guy, right? And I'm just looking at the board and it just feels like they've missed the window. They were never getting Rodgers. You look at who could be available as a veteran next offseason, free agent or trade, and you're getting into the Ryan Tannehill situations, which just screams of Carolina that they would do that. You're talking about Tom Brady. There's no way he's going there. Lamar Jackson is the one obviously linking over everything because of his contractual situation. I can't see him doing Carolina. That feels more like Miami or somewhere else. So, yeah, they're gonna be back into a rebuild. They're gonna miss the window of having this really talented defense when they chased all these veteran players.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're gonna see next week in the headlines. You mark our words. Hey, let's move on to the game show. On to the game show, Ollie. And this week we've got through the keyhole. Mike, I'm going to bring you in here, my good chum, Stereo Mike, and you're going to tell us exactly how we are going to play this game.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moore, and welcome in as well, everyone, to Through the Keyhole. We're going to do this. We're going to have five rounds, like five guessing situations, and it's going to be Tom versus Ollie. The first person to shout out the player's name wins. They're going to guess.
Were these people born after I was born?
Every player
is currently in the league.
Okay.
Let's go.
So this is the concerning thing for me as what do you call that man from Northern Ireland that was on that game show?
Like something only you and three other people.
Oh my God. What kind of a question is that?
Like an accent and he's like, what's his name?
Karen? No, he's not.
He's done like a really famous show back in that game show back in the 90s.
Hang on. Do you?
Roy?
Roy.
He did Catchphrase.
He was on Phoenix Nights.
He was. Roy Walker.
Roy Walker. Okay.
We got there as a team guy.
Does that count as a point? Can I have that as the first
one? Come on, I gave you the alley-oop.
Fun fact, I actually hate the TV show Through the Keyhole. I don't like Keith Lemon. Anyway, that's a whole different conversation.
Fun
fact for the week.
Also, you referenced Keith Lemon. I'm thinking of the guy used to do it like 20, 30 years ago. What was his name?
This is what Ollie said, Tom. Like you know, if you weren't born then, it's hard to... It's
get on with it then, children.
So I'm hoping that you know this goes long. Basically, I'm hoping. Anyway, here's the first one. Just shout out the name, lads, whenever you're ready to go, and it's best of five. We'll see. Okay. I am a cornerback currently playing in the NFL. I went to Central Michigan and played football in Central Michigan in college. I have won a Super Bowl within the last 3 years.
In the last 3 years. Are we getting any pause here to take stock or is this...
I might pause it now, actually.
Okay. So...
SMU.
Not SMU. Central Michigan, right?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Central Michigan, last 3 years. Won a Super Bowl, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Let's keep going.
I'm struggling with that.
I have a double-barreled surname.
Oh, now I like that. That's a great clue.
That is a great clue. My brain is not firing up today.
All I can think is Rogers Cromartie, but that's not...
That's the only list I have of clues. I'm hoping somebody gets it.
Come on. Double-barreled names.
It's going to be painfully obvious. This one hurts.
Oh, I hope somebody who's listening has got this.
See if we get down to six and there's only 1-0 to someone. I'm done with the show. I'm not coming back. It's fine. I'm joking.
I'm just going to think of people with double-barreled name. Edward Zelaya.
Running back?
No.
I know exactly. So I'm just thinking of people with double-barreled names.
He is in the NFC South.
He's in the NFC South. So he plays for the Bucs.
I got no idea. I bail on this one. Ollie?
I had no way and I just cannot. My brain is just not having it today, guys.
Okay.
Tell us, Mike.
Do you want to give it a stab on you?
No. Sean Murphy Bunting, did he play Washington or did he play at CMU?
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. Central Michigan. Sean Murphy Bunting. Yes, Sean Murphy Bunting.
So it's the, did I say Bunting Murphy? I think I said Bunting Man.
No, no, I think you said it spot on. Well done. So Ollie is 1-0 up.
And either Tom, way, a name with Bunting in it has got to get credit. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and like he's half Irish, that surname Murphy. Right. Next one, 1-0 to Ollie. I am a wide receiver for an NFL team currently. I play in the NFC.
Wide receiver in the NFC. Do I get more? Do you get? Is this one where you get more points the quicker you answer, or is it just one irrespective?
No, this is like Dragon's Den where we give ideas. This can evolve over the weeks, but as of tonight, it's 1 point each. Okay. I'm 22 years old.
Oh,
and I was
Okay, well, if you're gonna read them all.
I was gonna read one more and then stop.
Descending points, and then there can be like, okay. Anyway, we should probably brainstorm off her.
22 years old,
a 5-star recruit wide receiver. That's all I'm gonna say for now.
5-star recruit wide receiver in the NFC. 22 years old. Oh, Drake London.
Oh. No, sir. Tom, do you want to? You know what? I'll go to the next one. But
Tom's got a guess.
Give me another clue.
I am bilingual.
What? Okay.
I don't see how that one is more helpful, but I love it. I love it, Michael. That's a great one.
The last point. Well, you'll know who it is when the last point comes up. This is the problem. This is why this game's the problem now. So.
You're assuming I will know, Mike. That's a big assumption. If he doesn't play for the Packers or play against the Packers on a regular basis.
Well, if he's in the NFC, he
there's a chance.
He plays in the NFC North.
Ah, oh, crap.
NFC North.
He's bilingual. He's 22 years old.
22 means he's in the most recent draft, right, Michael? So is it Jameis?
Oh, I need to double check. Is he for this year or last year? Yeah.
Jameis Williams?
No, but I will say this now and get ready to put your hands on the metaphorical buzzer. Yes, go on ahead.
No, go on. Give me the last thing.
He went, ooh. My family member also plays in the league.
Oh, okay. Is that Amon-Ra St. Brown?
It is, yeah. That's well done. Yeah. 1-1. He speaks German. His mum is from Germany.
I knew that as
or
well.
Or his dad.
He told me that like last week. Oh, man, that's brutal. That is brutal.
Now, the next one, I think the next one's difficult. It's probably the most difficult out of all of them. So if you get a fair play. So it's 1-1. I played my college football for Montana State. I went undrafted in 2018 and was signed by the Seattle Seahawks. Do you want me to keep going?
Hell yes.
No. Can I just have a second?
Yeah, go for it.
I think Montana State, come on, man. Did you say the year he was drafted? Did you say 2018?
Undrafted in 2015.
In 2015. Okay, keep going.
And the Seahawks signed him.
Yeah. I got it. Keep going, please.
I've played for many teams, either as a member of the main team or the practice squad, including the Patriots, the Vikings, and also in the Canadian Football League for the Calgary Stampeders.
2015. Who's the other team you said? You said Pats and who?
Pats, Vikings, also the Eagles.
Vikings equals Montana State. Is the position coming up as a clue or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So the last one I'll give you before I give the position is last season, the player scored an interception against the New York Giants.
Scored
a defensive player
against the New York Giants. Why do I have a Nichols name in my head? Is there a Nichols?
So he's a linebacker.
Linebacker. He scored. Oh, I can see his face. All right, see, I can see him in uniform. Oh, 2015 for the Seahawks.
And finally, he joined the Denver Broncos this season.
Oh, of course, he did.
Yeah, sorry.
I've got no idea at all.
It's not a singleton. It is. I'm literally just now ripping through that linebacker room in my head. Patriots linebacker who went to Patriots linebacker who went to the Broncos. What was the stop between the Broncos and the Patriots?
Eagles. So on a number of those teams, he would have been in the practice squad, and then he got his break for the Eagles.
Oh, okay. No, this is gonna. I'm gonna throw my laptop into the wall.
I think you are, because you said his surname. It's Alex Singleton.
Oh.
Because I was like trying to keep playing.
Ah, said it.
We'll be right back. Okay.
I think, yeah, let's move on to the next one before Ollie kills himself.
1-1. We've only got two more left. Mm-hmm. So, unless there's two.
No,
and then
no half
we'll go
points for Singleton. No. Okay.
No way. You can't get
we'll see it then.
Half points for that. I can't believe I'm even still in this, to be honest. So 1-1.
I played my college career at Penn State and was drafted in 2018. My team placed...
Saquon Barkley.
No. My team placed the franchise tag on me in March and we won last weekend in the league.
Mm-hmm. 2018 franchise tag. God, my brain is fried today. Singleton's going to live with me for weeks.
This guy scored a huge touchdown last weekend. And I'll say this in case you want to jump in very quickly, lads. He's a tight end in the league.
Oh, Mike Gesicki.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. 2-1.
I knew I should have got that on the franchise tag. Unbelievable.
This next one's the easiest. Just a heads up in case you're wondering.
Oh, cool.
This is why I'll probably just say it at once. And then Tom, just get ready just in case. Okay, here we go.
I'm just going to massive guesses straight away.
Like that. Wrong person answer. Like it's yes. I was a pro bowler in 2015. I went to Florida State for college. I'm redshirted behind another NFL quarterback. I have thrown 94 interceptions in my career in the NFL.
James Winston. 90. Yeah. Was it? Oh, okay.
And the next clue was, do I need to continue? So that was basically it. I'll give this to Tom as Ollie's one, as the last one. I went to Arkansas in college. I had been voted an All-American previously, and I am a three-time SEC champion. I have only played for two NFL teams, and colder.
He went to Arkansas in school, but he's a three-time SEC champion.
He may have transferred. I literally put it down, but I'll double-check. It says SEC champion three-time. I've played for two NFL teams, Tom, and it's now a lot colder where I am now in comparison to where I used to be. And I'll check that SEC fact while Tom...
It's now colder.
It's now colder. I think I got a stab at this, but...
Is this suggesting that somebody's playing now in Green Bay?
It's not Green Bay. Yeah, this guy was a three-time All-SEC. No, okay.
All-SEC.
All-SEC,
not
my bad. Yeah, I got... Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's he colder?
He went from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Can I jump in if Tom's going to phrase it? Hunter Henry?
Yes.
Tom's face. This is like the turntables of the Simpsons episode.
I have to say, on a biased level, I really enjoyed that, but I will try and make it more, what's the word? Mainstream. But I liked it. Next week we'll do players in the 70s.
The thing is here is my knowledge of the NFL, right? Okay, let's open let's pull the curtain back. Okay, right, I'm not here for my knowledge of the NFL. I have a working knowledge of the NFL. I have a passion for the sport and I'm not an idiot, but in terms of my encyclopedia knowledge, it's lacking. Therefore, to be quite honest, Mike, you got a hell of a challenge pitching it at a level that's equal for Ollie and I. And I think that that's always going to be a challenge. So if I take a loss against Ollie, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
What evens the playing field is I only watch the players, right? So I don't know anything to do. When we do the numbers ones, I have no clue, right? When it's like this, they've thrown over 4,000 passing yards. I got no idea. Now, when you say instantly, Mike, this guy was drafted in 2015, went to Arkansas, I was working as an active scout in the NFL draft during those years. So it's immediately I'm like, oh, Hunter Henry. So it's not really that. Those kind of stuff about their college stuff is a completely unfair advantage. Now, if you said he's caught 90 passes or whatever for three straight years, maybe Tom can rattle through the top tight ends in his mind. That's where the even playing field is. I feel
I look forward to developing through the keyhole or through the NFL keyhole for the next appearance. But yes, I fully appreciate that. And I have to say, you were doing well, Tom. You were 1-1, so Honestly, not too bad. And I probably would have only got about 3 of them out of 5, seriously. So
it's just a lot better than me.
It's one better. Like, okay, yeah, probably 2 or 3. You know what? I'll say 2 to make everyone feel better. But I really enjoyed this game.
If it was 3 and you put it as a percentage, it would be 300% better.
I do like the idea of a slow reveal where you do the one. There is a game like that, right? You do the one and that's really hard, but you get 5 points if you get it right. Because then if Tom only gets 1 or 2, but he gets it on the 5th or the 4th one, maybe you drop in some specific Packers ones for the guy. Now we're cooking with gas.
You see, that's a great idea, but don't ever talk slow reveal because we're not doing Naked Attraction on this podcast. You know, even though it's a video podcast. No, never again, are we?
Oh my God. And that's the game show.
That's the game show. Right, let's move on and let's get to a little taste of Ireland. Swivel! I don't know why I said swivel.
Swivel.
Mike, to educators, this is the part of the show before listeners' questions where you give us an education on something to do with Ireland. Obviously, Ireland is a huge part of American subculture. It's a huge part, obviously, of British subculture. And Ireland is a huge part of Irish culture. Why did I say subculture? You know what I'm saying. Anyway,
British subculture.
You're just a subculture, Mike.
I would actually like to hijack this segment this week, Michael, if that's okay with you, and ask a question that maybe gets us to something specific. I saw today off a writer who I follow for the Irish Times was tweeting about the Touchdown chocolate bar. Now, obviously, this section for us is very food and influenced. And in fact, Tom, in my local Sainsbury's, as I've told you before, where Erling Haaland shops, not to drop that name, Michael and I discovered that they have now introduced a full, is it just Northern Irish or Irish section, Michael? I can't remember. They've introduced a full Irish section.
So that
I can now share some of these fun times and fun products with Michael. Team building.
Yeah, apparently in the 80s and 90s there was a bar called Cadbury's Touchdown.
Yeah, and it has like it looks like a Niners player on it, right? I think they use like a license they're not supposed to use. It certainly looks, I think, is it Jerry Rice? I can't remember, but it looks like they did something that they weren't allowed to do with the person on the bar.
So this is in the Irish Times, online, yeah? That's amazing.
Yeah.
We have to do a segment on a future show where we think of player-related food puns. Jerry Rice pudding. Sorry, it just came into my mind. I would genuinely, honestly, MCFS questions.
That works if it's just players who connote food and you say Jerry Rice. That's good. Just sticking the final part, I guess you got the rice pudding, but you could just stick anything after any name.
Well, you could say Jerry Rice and beans, but all I'm saying is I think there's some in there. mcfquestions@gmail.com if you've got good player-related puns relating to food. Anyway, carry on with this Taste of Ireland.
Oh, my God. Where do I even start now? I do think we should maybe buy that chocolate bar on eBay and we all eat it. Like, it's like 30 years old and we record our reactions. I'll put a picture on the broadcast on the video of that if you want to check out the video podcast, folks. Okay. Back to this Irish segment, and thank you for those kind remarks about how Ireland is part of British subculture. It is. Okay, we're going to talk today about mayo. Not about the sauce or the about mayonnaise, but about the county of Mayo on the west of Ireland. County Mayo, and this is relevant to the NFL, so bear with me.
Any association between County Mayo and the Mayo? Or is that too separate? And
I don't want to get in trouble online here. I don't think so.
Okay.
So there's 32 on the island of Ireland, both north and south. There's 32 counties, and those counties play each other. Ironically, like the NFL, 32, they play each other in like a Gaelic football and hurling competition, which we can talk about for a different segment. But basically, the Mayo football team are very popular. It's the main sport in Ireland outside of rugby. So Mayo won the All-Ireland or the Super Bowl of Gaelic football in 1950, and in 1951. And in 1951, on the way home or something from the All-Ireland final, they passed a funeral on the bus and they were basically drunk, wrecking the place. And a priest said, while every member of that team is alive, they'll never win an All-Ireland ever again. So everyone says they're cursed. So they've got a curse, apparently. So since 1989, they've appeared and lost in these finals, 96, 97, 04, 06, 2012, 2013, 2016, 2 games because it went to a replay, 2017, 2020, and 2021. In 2021, my county beat them because it was hilarious, because I was like, well, we can't lose the curse. And in 2021, they beat Dublin, who won it 6 years in a row. So everyone thought the curse was broken. So it's a 58 or 59 year curse. And the guy, the last surviving member, Paddy Prendergast, I think his name is, died last year. So there is the big story. Now, my question for you two, this is, and you're like, what relevance does this have, Michael, to the NFL? Well, I'll ask you this. Who has got the Mayo curse? Maybe not as long as Mayo, but who has got a similar curse, do you think, in the NFL? Now, I'll say the Jets, but I don't believe in the curse at all, personally. I just think they're a bad football team.
Anyone from Mayo is watching. They're owned by Woody Johnson. That's the curse. I could only think through that, and I apologize. I assure you I was actively listening, but I was kind of reverting back to our other game, and I could just think of Jared Mayo the entire time, which is
place
who can know food.
I was going to, well, I've got some, I'll come back to you in a sec, Mike. How about Nick Mangold chocolate bar or Julius Pepper steak? That's a good one.
I cannot believe this, lads.
You could also have Ray Rice and beans as well as Jerry Rice and beans. In terms of the Mayo curse, the Jets does sound like a good candidate. The Browns is also one that you would say. I feel like Aaron Rodgers has got a personal curse on him ever since that Seattle loss in the NFC Championship game.
With pro football is not enough of the franchises have been around long enough for this kind of stuff. Like, remember the Cubs? They had the situation with the goat. You guys remember that, where they got a 100-year curse because they didn't let a guy bring his goat to the game, and so he cursed them, and then they literally didn't win the World Series for 100 years. The Red Sox had their curse of the Bambino. They trade away Babe Ruth to the Yankees as a pitcher. He becomes the greatest hitter to have ever played, and they can never win one because they traded the Babe. All that stuff happens in the 30s and 40s and stuff, and we really need, like, it would have to be the Packers or someone to have a century spanning curse. It almost brings us to kind of the Paul Pogba, Kylian Mbappe situation. Perhaps the worst curse in the history of curses. He cursed someone and he became the greatest footballer to have ever lived, actually.
That's so messed up, lad.
You need a serious refund. If you get a witch doctor to curse someone and they become the greatest footballer of all time, how do you go about extracting a refund from your witch doctor?
I told the witch doctor... You were in love with me. That's a song, isn't it?
Told the witch doctor, and so yeah. Sorry, I'm caught up now. I appreciate this, but how about Ndamukong soup?
Can I just apologize to the people in Mayo? Actually, no. Do you know what? Because they were very rude to me in Dublin 2 years ago. So no. But they're cursed, and I don't know. Time will tell. I tell you what, lads. If Mayo gets to All Ireland, will we go and see if the curse is lifted? But will we actually go for the crack?
Yes, we have to. We have to see the curse lifted. So if that happens, you've got to keep us informed, Mike, and we've got to go and see the curse be lifted. I completely agree.
Next week, we'll talk about the National Ploughing Championships. It's a real thing. Google it now. It's happening right now, and it's huge for the economy. Google it right now. It's massive.
I am all for that. Let's save that for a taste of Ireland next week. Really, before I put a curse on this show, let's move on to listeners' questions. So, two questions to get to this week before we close out the show. Remember, you can hit us up with your questions, comments, thoughts, food-related and NFL player puns, mcfsquestions@gmail.com. Please, please get in touch. This show's always been about the listener interaction. So, first of all, Alex Price from Cardiff, he writes, what would you suggest a new or returning fan in order to learn about the game? The players, teams, tactics can be a bit overwhelming. Listening to the podcast has been a huge help and keen to learn more. Sorry if this is a question that's been asked a million times before. Thanks from a Steelers fan. Steelers fan Alex Price wants to know, if you're a returning fan or a new fan, how can you learn more about the game? I suppose it's kind of bite-sized chunks. Remember GCSE bite-sized when it was on the telly, Ollie? Like, that's what we want.
No, it was not a great student. Was not watching Bite Size. I don't believe. Was probably just playing football, more than likely. What do you need to learn about the game? I mean, it's a wide open ended question, right? There's a vast expanse of ways to go get information. You can binge as if books is your thing. You read as many books as possible. If you like audiobooks, you listen to audiobooks. You dig through as many podcasts as possible. I think it depends what you want to extract from the game. Are you looking to learn about the history of the teams, the rivalries? Are you looking to learn about the more social cultural side of the game? Are you looking purely for schematic stuff. If so, you subscribe to the Read Optional and get it straight to your inbox and you all the nerdy goodness out of there. So I think it's get back in touch with us. What was the name of the listener?
It was Alex Price.
Alex Price, get back in touch with us. Let me know exactly how you like to consume things. There's no judgments here. You tell me what is your preference, if it's blogs, if it's books, if it's podcasts. You tell me what you're looking for, and I will bring you five things for you to go and do for some studying.
Wow, I love it. Talk about tailored service from Oliver Connolly. Well done, that man. That's why he's the greatest. I'm the godfather here. And then Jamie Foyle got in touch. And this is a good question. I like it. And I've got a very straightforward answer to this one, Ollie, and you might have the same one. His question is there any of the six undefeated teams still left that you think could make the full run like the 73-74 Dolphins? Now, my answer, Ollie, would be one, I think it's very rare that we're going to see that. And I think it's almost impossible, particularly now they're up to 17 games. And two, this year, I don't see it happening. The Bills would make a good run at it, but I just feel like it's just almost an impossibility.
Yeah, I think it's almost impossible. Particularly, you look at the divisions they're playing in. The Chiefs, they're going to drop a game to one of those teams in the AFC West. The Bucs are probably going to drop a game. They're probably not in division, to be fair. Although the Saints might get them because the Saints always run them close. The Bills have the Dolphins situation. Then maybe Belichick does something wild one game and they're able to pull something out against Josh Allen. I know he housed them in the playoffs last year, but Belichick is deployed one-off strategies against him before and been able to get him. So I guess the one, if you were looking for one where you could make some sense, would maybe be the Eagles. And I know that's tough because, again, in that division, you have a resurgent Giants team who are doing some really interesting things under Brian Daboll. You've got a Commanders team that, again, really interesting things offensively with Scott Turner, who I really like. And then they have that front four who decide one week they want to play and decide the next week they don't want to play. And then you got the Cowboys, who that depends on when obviously Dak Prescott returns, what kind of Cowboys team you're facing. So if they can play the Cowboys without Dak, and they get a bad Daniel Jones game or a bad Carson Wentz game, then that's what you're looking at. The Eagles actually have the second weakest strength of schedule in the NFL. Now, they have maybe the best overall roster outside of quarterback, right? And they got a pretty good quarterback too. And they have the second weakest strength schedule in the NFL. So if anyone has a chance to do it, it would be kind of this Eagles freight train that just picked up, I think, and ran along. Unless the Bills are just such a level above the Dolphins, which they might well be. We'll find out this weekend. But I think the smart money on that would be the one who can push it the furthest, at least, would probably be the Eagles.
Yeah, you might be right there, Ollie, but I refuse to buy into this Eagles hype. I refuse to get onto the train until at least week 12. That's my rule on this one this year.
Let me roll through this with you then. So they go at Washington this weekend. Do you think they win that game?
Yes.
Host Jacksonville?
Yes.
At the Cardinals?
Yes, but that is the question mark.
That's a tight one because of Kyler, but
yep.
Shocking defensively. Home to the Cowboys, probably without Dak.
Yes.
Okay, home to Pittsburgh with Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, Mitchell. Will it be Kenny Pickett by then?
It could be Kenny Pickett. Okay, so it's a home to either Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, it's irrelevant win.
Yeah. At the fight in Houston Texans.
Oh, dear God. Keep going.
At home to the Washington Commanders with Carson Wentz.
That guy sucks. Move on.
So you see how? So now we're into week 11. So you see what? So if anyone's gonna push it,
hang on. I said week 12. What's week 11?
Week 11 is at the Indianapolis Colts with the fossilized Matt Ryan.
What's week 12?
Home to the Packers.
Ooh, we got him. We got him right there.
So that's the one. So they will be favored in every single game until week 12.
Yeah, and even then, they should probably be favored in that game, to be honest, based on what I've seen from the Packers' offense so far.
They have a better roster by some distance than the Packers' roster. It's just the quarterbacks, even the playing field. So, and they might not win all those games. This is the NFL. They'll probably drop a game to Arizona. They'll probably like lose their minds against Washington one week and stumble there. That could even be this week. But just in terms of general roster construction, who has the best rosters, matching them opponent versus opponent, they should win all those games until they get to Green Bay, and that's a coin flip.
Wow, love it, love it. And great chat, Ollie. And again, this is a jumping off point that's come from a listener's question. So thanks so much for getting in touch. And please hit us up, mcfsquestions@gmail.com. Throughout the week, I will collate them, send them whenever you like. And remember, you can find us on Twitter @OllieConnolly, @_Tommy_Moore, and @Michael_NFL. Is it Michael underscore NFL? Mike, have I got that wrong?
You've got it right, my friend.
Okay, good stuff. Right. But until next week, we hope you have an absolutely fantastic weekend of NFL games. It is goodbye, first of all, from the great Stereo Mike. Stereo Mike, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from the Godfather himself. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Have a fantastic weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.